Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would continue to speak your word to us, that we would truly hear your word, hear your voice speaking to us, and it would bear fruit in our lives to your honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated? So let's review. In this sermon series, through the season of Epiphany, the theme of the season of Epiphany is Jesus being revealed to the world, so we're just using that as our sermon series. But in the sermon series, we've seen Jesus. Remember 2 weeks ago, the picturesque language of angels ascending and descending on Jesus. Jesus is revealed as the sacred intersection between God and humanity, as God incarnate himself. Then last week, he begins his public preaching ministry, and he calls his first disciples, and they see that he truly is the one that God promised all along that would come and put the world right, that Jesus is the Messiah. They don't fully understand what that's going to mean, but they do get that that's who he is, that Jesus is the Messiah of God. And then he calls them to follow him closely. Jesus is revealed as the Messiah to follow. And today, those disciples follow him and promptly run into demonic opposition. And in the process, Jesus is revealed as the authority over evil. Now, this example in my own life was not necessarily authority over evil, but it was authority over kindergartners. They can be tough, I know, but perhaps not evil. But I was a senior in high school, and as my senior project, I went back and spent 2 weeks in a kindergarten class. Actually, my own kindergarten teacher's class for 2 weeks. And I remember once a young boy misbehaving, which is hard to believe, and I'm sure that I did not misbehave in that very classroom when I was there, but he was misbehaving, and I, as an 18-year-old, told him to stop or sit down or whatever it was, and he clearly did not care at all what I said. And I told him that Mrs. Ryan was just on the other side of this dividing wall in the classroom. And I said, you need to do what she said. She's right on the other side. And it was very clear that I had no authority in his mind at all. And so, defiantly, he got up and walked and looked around the wall to see that she was in fact standing there. And that was enough. So he came back begrudgingly and sat down. And what became very clear was I had no authority, but her mere presence carried authority, and so he sat down. Now, this was an early experience of mine, not of evil, but of carrying true authority. I had none, but Mrs. Ryan sure did. Now, regardless of what you may feel about a class full of kindergartners, this event in Mark chapter 1 shows Jesus's authority. It shows that Jesus has come to destroy the demonic reign of terror in people's lives and in the world. Jesus is revealed as the authority over evil. So let's look at Mark chapter 1 together. And you can turn in your bulletins, it's there for you. Our gospel reading, Mark chapter 1. Verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. Now, the brand new disciples, the event that took place right before this one, is they were called to follow Jesus. That's the previous section. So these brand new disciples called to follow Jesus, and immediately he led them into church. I'm going to say that's just worth noting for each and every one of us. Christians are called to follow Jesus, and immediately he leads them into church. And that is not an accident. If we are following him, he will lead us there. And if we will not go there, then we are not following his lead. And more than that, he calls his brand new disciples to mission. He didn't wait until they had been Christians for a long enough time. Mission wasn't the last thing on a church website as an afterthought. Mission, going with Jesus to share the gospel with others, happened immediately. Now, they weren't sent off alone immediately, but they were included in his mission to others right away. Usually, new Christians are the best at reaching others. They're the ones who typically have the most non-Christian friends and relationships. They're the ones who tend to best know the questions and concerns and worldviews that others have. Christians, over time, are supposed to learn to think and act differently, and sometimes that means that we don't always know what everyone else is doing or thinking. And new Christians are often the best at reaching others. But when we come to Jesus, immediately we are called to follow him into mission. How are you joining him in his mission? If you're new here or a new Christian, you may not have joined in yet. If you've been around for a while, following Jesus for a long time, you may have to recommit to joining in his mission, but that's where Jesus leads us. Will you come to the orientation tomorrow night with our new ministry partner, Path United, and learn about serving in Jesus' name in a local mobile home neighborhood? Will you volunteer this afternoon or in an upcoming week in our new local nursing home ministry? Maybe even spend time with people in the memory care unit where people are so often forgotten. Will you join in with a new group that's putting together concrete plans to go out and to partner in our community to share the gospel with others? Jesus leads his disciples into mission right away. And as Jesus' followers go out on mission, they encounter evil immediately. Everything happens immediately in the Gospel of Mark. But immediately, they run into evil. It's literally on the same page in the Bible from when they are called. They encounter evil right away, face to face. When we do God's work, evil is right there to try to stop it. So sometimes the enemy's work is actually a sign that we may actually be doing something right. Because the enemy hates what we as Christians do and the life transformation and salvation that we have in Jesus. But Jesus is revealed as the authority over evil. And that can actually only happen when we go out and encounter it. So verse 23. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us?" "Yes, I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. As Jesus was present and taught, evil was right there and reacted to him. Just like creepy things scurry from the light when you lift up the rock, the evil in this man reacted to the light and presence of Jesus. It says that this was a man with an unclean spirit. Having an unclean spirit is biblical language for demonic oppression. A man is there who is being oppressed by demonic forces, not just having a hard time and thinking it's always an attack from the devil, but to the point that forces of evil literally speak through this man's body and voice. Now, this passage doesn't emphasize how this man came to have an unclean spirit, but it does tell us that they are real and really do oppress people. In Uganda, where I studied during college, I've seen the way that a young woman was violently, physically thrown around because of a demonic oppression, thrashed around so hard that her body physically moved heavy metal desks as her body slammed against them, and yet she wasn't bruised or cut by it. And once she was delivered through prayer, we discovered that her parents had gone through a tribal ritual and given her over to and promised her to demonic forces when she was a child. And those forces certainly were willing to take over when given permission until she met Jesus. I also remember in the church where I grew up here in the U.S., a woman named Sherry who had gotten into astrology. And when she became pregnant with their son, she cast his horoscope, and whatever process she used came up with this line, children born under this sign often grow up after the death of one parent. And she later said that those words settled on her like a curse. See, her husband was a police officer. And so she became terrified and unable to function every time he left the house for years. This was far beyond anxiety. And after years of that, she talked to a priest. And after talking to the priest, this priest prayed a rather unconvincing prayer, something like, I take authority over this in Jesus' name, be gone and broken in his name. And she looked at him and said, what did you just do? Nothing, lady, I promise. When you said those words, something left me. And after the service that next Sunday, she came up to him quite upset and got in his face and said, why haven't you told us any of this before? What before? About Jesus. Why haven't you told us any of this before? See, she had been coming to church for years, but she had been unable to hear the gospel until she was set free. See, evil forces can oppress people, but Jesus is revealed as the authority over evil. But these examples in my own life experience and the example of this man in the synagogue in Capernaum in Mark chapter 1 display that Jesus has come not just to heal people's physical bodies and to teach them the truth, though he does both of those things, but he came also to destroy the devil's reign of terror over people's lives. Jesus healing people's physical bodies is not always just about the physical healing, but it also represents a war against all forces of evil. He is not just some exorcist. He is the Messiah of God, anointed to destroy the rule and tyranny of Satan. And ultimately, he does that through his cross and resurrection, where he defeats sin and death and Satan through his own death for us. But we see here that the cosmic war has begun as Jesus casts out demons. As we say in our liturgy at communion, by his resurrection, he broke the bonds of death, trampling hell and Satan under his feet. The demons know that he's come to destroy them, and they say so in verse 24. Jesus casting out demons is a sign that his kingdom has come and that the reign of the enemy is being undone. Jesus is conquering and stomping on the forces of evil. And through his cross and resurrection, he defeats them. And when he comes again in power and great glory, his victory will be decisive and complete and eternal. And his casting out of a demon reveals that he is in fact the authority over evil. And then we hear about the congregation's response to all of that. Verse 27. And they were all amazed. So they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even unclean spirits, and they obey him. And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The congregation was amazed at his teaching, and they were partly right and very wrong. They were amazed by what had happened, but they missed who he is. They told everyone. They made him famous. This was a YouTube sensation before there was a YouTube. But they didn't follow and worship. Other rabbis of the time taught by constantly citing sources of people who had gone before, kind of like academic papers these days. But Jesus shows up and teaches on his own authority and backs it up by casting out evil. Other teachers taught and nothing happened. And Jesus teaches and things happen. This was different and it carried authority. And so the crowd gets that this is different and they tell their friends about all the amazing things they saw. But they seem to miss Jesus. They see the event and the sensation, but they don't appear to get who he is being revealed to be. They go tell everyone, but Jesus doesn't appear to be interested in having people follow him on the basis of a spectacle. So people in this scene respond to Jesus differently. Some just sort of enjoy it, apparently, because it's new and exciting and fun. But the disciples, and we who read this in faith, begin to see more of who Jesus truly is. He's being revealed as the authority over evil itself, not for show, but to display that the enemy's hold on people's lives is being broken because God incarnate has come. See, friends, Jesus is the authority over evil because he is God incarnate. He is the source and standard of goodness and life. And you need not be afraid of evil in this world. Jesus has conquered and is greater. And his freeing this man in Capernaum is evidence that he is setting us free now in this life and for eternity. Evil may kick and scream to try to distract and harm and destroy, but Jesus is our protection and our Savior, and at a word, he can send the enemy shrieking for cover. So trust him. Look to the one who is revealed as the authority over evil, to Jesus, the Messiah, who casts out demons, who heals the sick and sets the oppressed free. And in his death and resurrection, defeats the enemy and opens the door to everlasting life. Put your faith in him. Don't just follow him or choose a church for the entertainment value. Follow Jesus because of who he is. The sacred intersection of God and humanity, God in flesh, God incarnate. He is the Messiah. He is God's person fulfilling God's purposes in the world. And he is the authority over evil who has come to set us free and to truly and utterly and decisively destroy sin and death and the devil. Come and worship. Come and follow. And come join in his mission in the world. Amen.